Does loving your friends mean you've also got to love their animals too? It's time to ask Auntie. Now, there was a time when a dog's place was out in the back garden or the back paddock gnawing at their fleas, but not so these days. Dogs are on our laps, in our beds, potentially at our dinner parties. But not everyone's a dog lover. So what happens then? This is the heart of our dilemma today. Welcome to our aunties, journalist and executive director of Screen Careers, Denise Erickson. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
And the head writer for Gruen on ABC, James Colley. Hi, James.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you both here. Now, aunties, we're going to take a very dogged approach to this dilemma. So just to get a sense check, as a head writer for Gru and James, do I get does my producer get a tick for writing that wonderful dog pun?
Unfortunately, they're dog gone and pack up their desk.
Oh, no, he's anti-pun. Okay, James, are you a dog person? And where do you believe a dog's place is?
I am absolutely a dog person. I've had dogs all my life. I have a little dog right now called Brando. I absolutely love my dog, and I love my dog to be a dog and not be a person and be where a dog needs to be, in a dog bed, in a dog house, in a home, not in a cafe under my feet.
Okay, boundaries. I hear boundaries. I hear rules. I hear limitations. I hear a devoted but disciplined dog owner there. Denise, what about you?
Oh, I love dogs. In fact, so much so, I offered to buy my 9-year-old granddaughter a present last week, and she said, "Nana, put it towards a dog. It'd make you so much happier."
That's really sweet. So, but when you have a dog, where does the dog? Does a dog go everywhere with you? Is it?
It's pretty close to my side a lot of the time. Like it has been known to sleep in my bed.
Okay.
And I am a big fan of taking my dog with me.
Okay, that's
up to a point.
Up to a point. Okay, very, very important. Let's proceed with the dilemma that our letter writer Deborah has shared with us. And she writes, "The first thing I should say is that I've never been what you might call a dog person. It could be because I didn't grow up with them or because I'm actually a bit afraid of them. But unlike many people who love cuddling any dog they meet, I've just never particularly liked being around them. My very close friend Anne is a massive dog person, and because she's like family to me, and I know her dogs are like family to her, when I've dropped by her house over the years, I've always ignored it when her dogs jump up on me or try to lick my fingers, which, to be honest, I always find a little ew." Okay, back to the aunties. James, I want to come to you. Initial thoughts on how Anne is managing, how Deborah is managing her discomfort with dogs around her dog lover friend Anne.
It doesn't feel like she has managed it to one bit. I don't want to start this by going right in on our lovely letter writer, who thank you for contributing to the segment. I really appreciate your thing. But I know the friends of mine who don't like my dog. It's very fun to me that they don't like my dog, and I keep the dog away from them. I think once you have let the dog jump on you and get your boundaries, it would be like when you break up with someone and then all your friends tell you, "We hated him."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Well, where were you before? Well, tell me this earlier."
It's really interesting, though. I think, like, as a person who has owned dogs over the years, you can immediately tell when someone comes into your space how uncomfortable they are with a dog. It's really easy to tell through their body language. Denise, do you think Anne, as a very close friend, has any responsibility? Like, she may love her dogs, but she loves her friend, too.
Yeah, you know, I think responsibility in both camps on this one. Mm-hmm. If it was me going to Anne's house and I hated a dog, I'm sorry, but I'd tell her. I mean,
Well, that's because you're Denise Erickson.
That's exactly right. So Anne, it's actually...
It's Deborah.
Deborah. Yeah. But I think Anne has a responsibility. I mean, if I have friends come to my house when I have a dog, I would rather them feel comfortable in my house. So I'd be tempted to put the dog in the laundry or something like that. But I think you've got to, as James says, you're aware of body language.
Yes. Well, Deborah hasn't suggested so far, James, what is this signaling to you that despite her discomfort with dogs, she's actually said nothing?
Well, then you can't expect anyone else to be in your head. Like, particularly if you have allowed them to interact with you to that point, that they are jumping on you and licking on you and you say nothing, even like shift away, show your discomfort to your friend. Then, like you say, it becomes on the thread to notice and make you comfortable. Because like as I say, I have friends all the time who don't like dogs. And so if they come over and my dog is there, it's then on me to, he's either in my hands or he's in another room or somewhere that it's keeping off them, because that's, that then becomes hospitality. Like, you can't inflict your dog on someone.
I mean, I get all of that. I'm with you. But I also am thinking about the fact that I do know some devoted dog lovers who seem oblivious. Right.
Yes.
But I'm going to go on and hear what else Deborah has to say. She says, this year, Anne's got a new dog, Fred, a small poodly kind of thing. And I don't know if it's because she's getting older, but she brings him everywhere, including to my house when visiting for a cuppa. Although it does kind of get to me, especially when he jumps on the couch or tries to, content warning, hump my leg, because Anne's mentioned she sees Fred as her partner. And she's always been single. I feel like she'd be really hurt if I brought it up. Okay, aunties, a twist to the situation. I am a dog lover. I've had many dogs in my life. I've heard of people referring to their dogs as their fur children. But Denise, I've never heard of a dog as a life partner. Is this familiar to you?
Oh, in some ways, yes. Not so much. Well, a life companion I would prefer.
Yes.
Because partner's a bit creepy.
Starts to feel a bit...
But icky doos, you know.
Yeah.
And so I understand that as you get older, and I think that's going back to my granddaughter telling me to get a dog. I think she'd rather I had a dog than nobody living with me.
Oh,
but I do think there is that close relationship. But if you're going to equate it to your partner's got to behave in a way in which is appropriate. If somebody came to my house and danced naked around the lounge, if I didn't feel comfortable with that, I would say to the person, please don't bring that person who danced naked around my house.
That's fair. James, what do you think of the dynamic if someone sees their pet dog as a life companion or a partner?
I think if anyone's partner came over and started humping my leg, I would have questions.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that's a way for a partner to behave.
Okay.
I think that, and
even
so, yeah,
if they're
exactly.
four-legged, yeah.
Even if they're four-legged. I think that you can say whatever you want. They can be your, I've seen, you know, I've watched Turner and Hooch. I can understand the relationship that you can have there. But I think that, again, like in this is, like, it's very hard to imagine a poodle being brought around where it's not like Paris Hilton coming out of the handbag and looking about. And like that, like, it's fine. If you don't want the dog in your house, you know, that's the thing. Meet at a third location if you need to, if you have to do that kind of thing. But it's your house. You're allowed to say like that. I prefer not to have dogs jumping on all of my stuff. Or if you want to bring your dog, hold your dog, use a leash, anything of that sort.
Do you take your dog? Do you take Brando out to like other people's homes? How do you handle that?
So I would say a good example is my workplace. My workplace loves Brando. They would very much like Brando in all of the time. And I will not do that because if he's going to a job, he's getting paid.
He's,
I don't,
you should
I
take
just
him
don't,
to work.
he's a terrible rider. He slows down all of Gru and none of his jokes get through. Like, I just don't think like, I think dogs are for play. Like I like taking my dog for walks. I like taking my dog out with people when we're all doing an outdoor activity that a dog can be at. But as soon as it's indoors, you're then in someone else's space. Someone like part of my rule of this is that like dogs, you know, dogs are sick all the time. Dogs, you know, relieve themselves all the time. If it is not strictly your job to clean up after that, like if that happens in a place where it's someone else's problem, then the dog shouldn't be there. It's the same reason like you wouldn't want him in a supermarket because you're like, oh, that's an awful place for that to happen.
That's a good rule. Now, I've got to chuff on because Deborah has another part to her letter. She writes, later this month, I'm hosting a 60th birthday party for my husband who also isn't very into dogs. And I'm really trying to make it a special night. I'm organizing finger food, a waiter to serve it, and a pianist, as my husband's a huge classical music lover. Of course, I can't imagine not having Anne there, but I'm inviting guests with a plus one, and I'm assuming she's going to bring Fred. Not only am I quite worried he could knock things over, I also do feel like it's not really appropriate to bring pets to a dinner party. I'd like to mention it when I give Anne her invite, but I'm worried she might see it as really insensitive and potentially never forgive me. To a dog person, is what I'm asking completely unreasonable, or can I bring it up and not jeopardize our friendship? Denise,
that says something to the friendship, actually, because if she can't raise that with a friend, it's her husband's 60th, and I think that you have to be able to have that discussion because, I mean, I'm the most extreme dog lover I've seen is when I was sharing a house with some people years ago. They had two poodles, Mitzi and Collie. They used to sit up the table with us and eat off the owner's plates. Oh. Now, no, it was gross. I couldn't cope. Even I, as a dog lover,
went, and you spoke out.
Bleh.
Yeah,
I left.
You left
because it was their house, you see. Okay. And right. I thought, I don't want this. I don't want the dogs.
But you didn't raise it. You just.
Oh no,
left.
I did. Okay. I sort of went, ew, yucky. Do they have to eat off your plate? And they went, yes.
Okay.
So, right. but look. I think it's a birthday party that's special to someone and you just got to have that conversation.
James, can a dog be a plus one at a human 60th dinner party with a pianist? I'm imagining tablecloths as well and a waiter and finger food.
Well, firstly, I understand, like, you know your friend very well here and you have a very deep friendship, but if I was given an invite and someone explained to me, by the way, your plus one is a human, not a dog, I would be so insulted that they ever thought it could be a dog.
Do you think that needs to be printed on the invitations? Everybody gets an invitation that says plus one human. Asterisk must be human.
Yeah, yeah. I would love your plus one in general to be human. No. I can't feel like, well, here's a bison I found. No. Like your plus one is a human. Also, and I think she's completely across this, everyone who has seen a Disney movie knows if you have classic music, a fancy dinner, and a dog, disaster. It's going to go very, very badly wrong. The dog will be chasing something. There'll be thieves. Everything's going to go terribly, and it will all be to the tune of Rachmaninoff. You just cannot do this.
So, James, I have a text here for you. What a respectful dog owner you are, Mr. Gruen. That's for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Another text. I'm a gay, 65 gay grumpy man. My toy poodle is my constant companion. Joy of my life. Comes with me every single place where I choose my friends. They all adore her at a cafe. Constant source of love and attention. Okay, well, I don't know what
each
this texter would say about the plus one at the dinner party. They might feel that the toy poodle is there.
I think it's very lovely that you believe all of your friends love and cherish this as much as you.
So in conclusion, we say Deborah needs to put some concrete in her cereal and say to her dear friend Anne, hey Anne, 60th birthday party, please don't bring Fred. Do we agree?
Put your big girl pants on, mate, and deal with it, right?
All right. Aunties, thank you so much. Executive Director of Screen Careers, Denise Erickson, head writer of Gruen, James Colley.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.